Hi, cutie pie. Welcome back. I'm Daniel.
And I'm Garrett, and we're your hosts of Modern Gaze. On today's episode, we're going to be getting into the art of flirting, setting boundaries, embracing your worth, and the power of mystery. And we'll be discovering the ways that we can tell if we're cheating on ourselves. Speaking of cheating on yourselves, RuPaul was talking to Alex Cooper of Call Her Daddy, and he was saying that you are basically cheating on yourself if you are monogamous.
Yeah. If you think that you are only going to have your private parts for one person, honey, you are cheating on yourself.
He was saying you're cheating yourself out of lots of sexual experiences.
Correct. Yeah. He was saying if something really good comes along and you don't take that opportunity, you're cheating yourself basically, or you're robbing yourself of that experience.
I think that's a very specific opinion to him. I don't know if I agree to that. I also don't know if monogamy is for everybody.
Correct.
I think that there's a lot of different types of relationships and there's a lot of different types of like sexual exploration.
For sure.
And especially when you're on your journey of figuring out who you are and just maybe finding your person very early on in life, maybe as like an adolescent yourself, mm-hmm. and then getting married to that person and staying with that person their entire life. And not having many sexual encounters or experiences to really figure out what it is you like or want or are into, etc. Then, I mean, I can see how just how you might be cheating yourself.
Yeah, we can cheat ourselves in many different ways throughout our whole lives, I would imagine. But I think when it comes to dating and life and love, I think there are a lot of different sayings and a lot of different quotes, you could say, that people would say to us, like, mm-hmm. treat him mean, keep him keen, or play hard to get, or, you know, there's all these different sayings of what you should follow to win someone over.
Yeah, a lot of people have a lot of opinions and one-liners, and I want to talk about some of these one-liners.
Okay.
So this whole treat them mean to keep them keen.
Yeah.
I never heard until I moved to Australia.
Really?
Yeah, because A, nobody says keen.
So really. What would you say in America, like?
But you would say play hard to get.
Play hard to get.
Yeah, so treat him mean, keep him keen. And keen here is like, you know, I'm into it. Yes, like I
never heard the term fuckboy until I moved to LA. Like, oh, he's a fuckboy.
Well, now there's so many like fuckboy energy television shows on dating that it's an international term now.
Now it is.
What about the term absence makes the heart grow fonder?
Look, you know.
That's an old school saying. Nobody says that anymore.
Ain't nobody got time for absence make the heart grow fonder. You know what makes the heart grow fonder? My dick, bitch.
Oh my God. Okay,
because, you know, absence just makes it get hotter, girl.
Okay, listen. They say, you know, you can get over someone if you spend way too much time with them.
Yes.
And if you're like constantly trying to make something work, or you're constantly trying to be in that person's like space, mm-hmm. it can get overwhelming.
Okay.
And so you're supposed to say like, okay, I'm going to go give you some space.
I'm going to give you some time.
You so time. You can miss me.
Right.
I think that works. In most cases.
Okay, but listen, you may miss them, but you could also love the time alone and not miss them.
Correct. Okay, what about this one? Leave them wanting more.
Leave them wanting more. I mean, look, aren't we always wanting people to want more from us? Like when you're dating and it's so transactional, like there's always that mysterious, oh, keep them wanting more, right? Because you're constantly like, oh, is he going to reply to me? Does he love me? What is he thinking? What is he feeling? Is he horny? Is he into me?
Like, right.
There's these constant, oh, what is he wanting from me?
I think that if I'm going to leave you wanting more, I'm actively like communicating to you that
it's intentional.
It's intentional and I'm letting you know that.
I can
and then you're
relate.
Like, oh, okay. So then you can get into it, but you also aren't confused.
The leaving wanting more is like, hun, what are we watching tonight? And what's the snack? Like, did you get popcorn or ice cream?
I'm going to surprise you.
Right.
Okay. What about keep your cards close to your chest?
Listen, girl, the only thing close to my chest is a chest press. Those cards are out and folded, girl. Texas Fold'em, girl.
Fold'em.
It ain't Texas.
Okay. Oh, you've never played poker.
Girl, I show all my cards. I'm like, here's my black four of spades.
Okay,
here's my king of hearts.
You do not play cards.
I'm like,
just
here's
stop there.
All my cards. Like, there ain't no cards to my chest.
I hold my cards close to my chest. That's I know, and I
had to keep picking them.
Yeah, I believe in carefully trusting others.
No, you're just a bit more of like, you know,
assume positive intent. I do assume positive intent. I think people are mostly good until they prove you wrong. But I don't fully reveal who I am or what I want or all my cards right away because I think that I value them a lot and I don't want them to get ruined.
Look, do you know what? I can respect that. You know what I do now? I will give you all of me, but I don't tell you what I think straight away anymore. So I'll open up to you and I'll let you like trust me and like, you know, you'll think we're BFFs, but I don't tell you everything.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Who are you talking about?
Like who?
New
like
encounters. You just met?
Yeah, like new friends, new work colleagues, just new people that I build connections with now.
Yes.
Before I'd like be like, oh my gosh, babe, like this. Whereas now I'll like build the rapport with you and like let you in to tell me everything and like think that we can like be BFFs and you can trust me, of course, but I won't open up to you as quickly as you think I am.
Ah, okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, yes. All right. Well, we're going to lay it all out there. We're going to break it down in this episode. And at the end of today's episode, we'll be talking about cheating and cheating on yourself.
And you can do that.
So before we get into that, let's get into this, which is thank you to all of our listeners who tune into Modern Gaze every single week. We love you guys and we would appreciate the love back. If you can leave us a 5-star review if you're enjoying any of our episodes, as well as follow, like, subscribe on any podcast player you may be tuning in and join the conversation on Instagram and Threads.
Us gays, we just know how to do stuff.
Well, what about modern gays?
That's easy. Modern gays do everything.
The art of flirting.
The art of flirting. Flirting is, I think, doesn't come normal or natural to many people.
Did not come normal and natural to me.
I think, to be honest, when I met you, your way of flirting with me was you weren't a very direct flirter. You would like, I knew you wanted to flirt with me because you would like awkwardly laugh and smile it off.
Yeah.
Like you would want to say something flirtatious back, but you'd kind of like, and like look away.
I don't think I ever really gave a one-liner pickup line. I had no game.
But the idea of flirting is to impress somebody, right? Or to turn them on. So I think that there's many different ways in which you can actually turn somebody on.
Okay. So what worked for you early on in your dating life? What was like the best way of flirting?
Well, it depended on the person because I think every person has different needs and different ways that in which it will turn them on.
Okay.
Like for me, being direct, being upfront, straight to the point, straight shooter, you got me, girl.
Right.
But for you, I felt like when I was kind and respectful and honest and open, I feel like that turned you on.
That was my kind of flirting.
You were like, woohoo, girl, we're in.
He's nice.
You know, you were like, oh, I'm into you. I'm into that.
Well, I was into that, those characteristics and that part of your personality. But I'm talking about first date.
Right.
What kind of flirting do you think you would want to employ or work that worked well? And it doesn't have to just be me. It could just be anything.
Okay, eye contact.
Yeah.
I think it builds a really good form of trust and intimacy and that you're into me and you're paying attention to me.
Correct.
I will also say like cheeky one-liners or like cheeky flirtatious jokes.
What if someone's like really looking for a long-term partner or boyfriend or someone they want to date?
Right.
Obviously sex is on the cards.
Yeah.
But it's not just to get to the bed.
Well, there can be like physical touch, right? Like you can handhold, you could touch each other's laps under the tables and play a bit of handsies.
A footsie.
Yeah, a little bit of a footsie. You could buy somebody a drink or you could ask, what do you like? Get a vibe of what they want to order on the menu.
Right.
What do you think?
I'm not a very touchy person, but I appreciate and pay a lot of attention
to pick up on the signs when someone is,
you know, touching me. Mm. It doesn't have to be a romantic situation. It could be like any kind of friend or platonic situation.
Right.
I'm hyper aware when someone puts their arm around me or like leans on my shoulder.
Or grabs your ass.
Or grabs my ass randomly. Yeah. That's very common.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Mm. I'm not a one that does it. I love that kind of flirting, but that's not my flirting style.
Mm.
Everyone has their own flirting style. And it could be some cheeky jokes. It could be touching. It could be like just being suave and like trying to like playfully look across the room and with the eyes. But it also could be something stupid.
Like
maybe it's like dumb jokes, or it could also be.
See, dumb jokes to me is an ick.
It's an ick for me too.
That's like bye.
But somebody can think that that's flirting.
Right.
Or they can maybe push or kind of tap or hit, which
what?
Is from your childhood, like when you're learning
tap
how
to, or hit.
Yeah. So like when someone's kind of laughing hysterically or they're trying to like,
oh, pay I do that to my to friends you. All the time. Yeah, I hit
like,
their legs.
You hit their leg or you hit their shoulder, like a tap or like a push.
Right.
Like you're laughing hysterically or whatever. Some people do it in like a romantic sense.
I do that all the time. Are you calling me out right now?
Yeah, because it comes from your childhood, and that's in ways that you got each other's attention and you expressed the way that you felt.
Okay.
And it also came from ways of you not being able to express yourself in words.
Right.
So you learned to express in a physical way.
Right.
So anyway, I think that the flirty style that I have always leaned into is I give you something and then I kind of just wait for it to land. And then I stay a bit mysterious.
My flirting style has always been smiling.
Mm.
Like smiling and like giving you eyes.
Yes. I'm all about eye contact.
Like
I will look deep into your soul, like into the eyes. I think it's the sexiest thing ever.
I used to date a guy once and he used to bite his lips.
Oh, that's sexy.
I didn't find it sexy at all.
Why not?
He's like, hey, babe, bite lips. You want to come over? Bite lip. Ew.
No.
Don't be biting those lips. It's not sexy.
Okay, but you know what? Like lick your lips.
I only lick my lips if they're dry.
Okay. Well, like, somebody could like, that could be a sexy little something.
But then I don't know if they're dehydrated. Maybe I need to get them water. I'm like, waiter, give them some water. Oh, you know, maybe they're thirsty. So I don't know. But I think flirting is so important to just let somebody know that you're actually into them.
But you get the attraction without being too aggressive.
Absolutely. Because it's giving that other individual a sign that we're on the same page. I'm into you. This is going good. This is going well.
Yes.
Okay. You know?
So what about this idea of when someone's maybe giving you that physical touch, or they're like caressing your knee or like holding your arm? You also have to set boundaries, right? Because like maybe that's uncomfortable.
Right. Maybe they didn't even ask you.
You know, what if during dating you're figuring out what you're comfortable with and some of that flirting is making you
uncomfortable,
awkward?
Well, look, let me tell you, I think there's nothing sexier when you're on a date and someone says, can I kiss you?
Oh.
Girl, my legs are open. Wide open.
Were they kissing you?
Girl, they can kiss anywhere they want at that point. You know, I think it's sexy to ask for permission.
Yeah, 100%. Permission is sexy.
Yeah.
I know sometimes when you see someone ask for permission in a movie or like in a show, it can be like a bit awkward. But I think in real life experiences, it's actually really, really sexy.
Especially when you're like
intimate,
starting to kiss
on you.
And you're intimate and then they're like, is this okay? And you're like, oh, yes, this is okay.
I don't like the, is this okay? I like that, can I do this?
Or are you okay?
But no, I just like, I like the confidence. So, okay, ask for permission and then go for it.
Right.
And if I'm not comfortable or if you're not feeling comfortable, then retreat and back off and then be like, oh, like that's, change the fucking subject. So when I talk about boundaries right now, it's very specifically related to flirting and showing you're interested and balancing that with not putting everything on the table, not throwing up
not
all of your emotional drama. Yeah. Also not like being too much with your touchy feely shit, but also not closing yourself off. So like you need to figure out
a balance.
You know, you gotta get that ebb and flow within your own way of communicating and trying to be sexy, and then also reciprocating or opening yourself to someone else's flirting.
100% is important.
Yeah. But what about knowing who you are and having the self-worth to understand what it is that you are trying to attract as well as what you're going to give someone?
Well, that is a lot.
Well, okay, you're flirting, you're opening yourself up, you're figuring out your boundaries, you're understanding like what you're comfortable with, what you want to give, what you want to receive. But it's at the core of it, it's really knowing who you are and knowing what you want and having a good sense of self.
Well, we talk about this on every episode, babe. And what does that come down to? Being your authentic self.
Yes, it does.
If you are your authentic self and you are like Lisa Renner and you own it, and be honest. Yes. Then I think those are the key ingredients to help you, one, get the most out of that date, and two, be your true self to the person from the very beginning, rather than masking who you are to impress them.
That, to me, all equates to confidence.
Yeah, you have to be confident.
That is so sexy. Like, confidence is so sexy.
Confidence is so sexy.
Which is why I don't like when someone's like mid makeout sesh and they're like, is this okay? Like, not now it's not.
Well, I think it's fine.
No, because that's not confident. That's like, you know, that's just
insecure.
It's like, oh my God, I jumped in too far. I don't know if they're liking this. I'm liking it, but I don't know what they're thinking. Like, it's just kind of like too.
It gets you out of the moment. Okay, I get it.
No, just be in the moment and let the passion keep take going. Over. You know what I mean?
Sit back and take it.
But if it's uncomfortable and you don't want to take it, don't take it. Like, right. Just kind of retreat a bit, and that's fine. But be confident in your retreat. Mm. Be confident in that you want, in what you want to say is like, okay, I'm not comfortable with this, or like, oh, hey, we're going fast. It's a little hot and heavy, and we're just at like appetizers.
But I think
let's just relax.
We're at the arancini bowl still. But I think it's so important to be authentic, because especially within the community, we have constant societal pressures, and we have constant
body image
and gender identities. And we have so many different factors that really hinder us from being authentic, especially if we've had traumatic coming out stories, or we have family that don't support us, and we have our own chosen family. Mm-hmm. Like, having those conversations and feeling confident to be authentic when mm-hmm. you're meeting somebody new.
Yeah.
Is very scary and confronting for some.
Right. Yeah. No, that's true. With knowing who you are and dating, you have to put in the work before you really are going to get the results that you're looking for, by investing into yourself and investing into your own self-worth, and really figuring out what you want and what you expect, what your boundaries are, and who the fuck you are.
Yeah, who the fuck are you really? Like,
yeah,
and what do you love? What are you into? What do you like to do for fun? What do you like to do when you want to be on your own?
And to be honest, like, I really didn't get a full big picture grasp of this until I was 30.
Yeah.
Like, I was many different iterations of myself.
Me too.
Throughout my whole life. And I grew and I figured it out and I found my way.
I constantly tried to impress the other person whenever I went on a date with someone.
Early on?
I would say right up until I met you.
Really?
Yeah. I would constantly disregard myself and my values to impress somebody, to get them to love me.
How?
Disregard myself and not talk about myself, because one, I didn't want to look cocky, and two, I didn't want to look overly confident. So I would actually minimize myself to put the other person first.
Okay. So you'd shrink yourself in order to focus on the other person, to build up their ego.
Correct.
That's what you felt like.
I had to do.
You had to do to win their love.
Yeah. Which then probably turned them off, because they didn't get to know me.
Right.
Who was this really cool, fun, loving, sexualis, confident man.
100%.
You know?
Well, I think a lot of us feel that way. Like, in a way, you have the facade in dating and meeting people, which is a part of who you are. And it is a projection, but at the same time, it is faulted, because it doesn't have the full richness and the dynamic, like, vulnerability that you have as a whole person. But at the same time, if you were to bring yourself in that way fully when meeting someone new, and they maybe haven't done the work, or they don't know who exactly they are, and, or they're having these other kind of self-defense mechanisms in action, and they're harming you, or they're saying things that can affect you in a negative way, or they're not appreciating or validating what you're presenting, it can be much more painful.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to, you know, necessarily want to do that again. So that's why we have these facades that kind of protect us. But we call it walls. A lot of people call it walls.
Oh, yeah, knock the walls down.
I got my walls down. There is no fucking walls.
No, there's no walls in your body.
I think we should call it facade. I don't think walls is the right word.
It's a facade.
It's
an inauthentic version of yourself.
It is a manufactured, curated version of yourself that you have made subconsciously and consciously. Instead of walls, it's this facade.
Yes.
And some people have a master. They have a PhD. They have their full doctorate in facade.
Yeah.
And they really,
like Wendy, she's a doctor, girl.
They know
Housewives of Potomac, girl.
They know how to really convince you that this is their rich self.
Mm.
And there is a balance between that and being mysterious.
So what you're saying is you have to be authentic with a touch of mysterious spice.
Well, yeah, if you can find a way to be somewhere between that facade, which is valuable. It's a tool. You use it to protect yourself, but you also use it to like slowly introduce yourself to someone, but it can be a hindrance. It could like really block you from making a real connection. At the same right. time, for me, I'm probably leaning into that side of mystery where you don't fully know who I am at the start. I hold my cards close to my chest. I protect myself, but I do jump into vulnerability closely after that.
So how do people go from having the facade to being authentic with a touch of mysterious?
It's not that deep. Like you can be who you are and love who you are, but at the same time, don't project some fake bullshit.
I think people also need to go into the situation with an open mind and an open heart, knowing that this may not work out. Because if you go in not lowering your expectations or having lower standards, but if you just go in with this is an encounter, this is an experience, whether it works out or not, it's okay. I have myself, I have my love, I have my support network.
Right.
You can't put that pressure on this one date or on this one relationship that's going on at the moment. Because if you lose that, then your walls are fully going to go up like a concrete freaking brick house.
Your facade.
And you're going to then have to work again to get it back down.
Yes. And there is a power of mystery. Like we want to know what we're getting, but we also don't want to know everything all the time. It's about holding on to a few elements, a few things, because you can give them just
drips and drabs.
Not drips and drabs. Here's an analogy.
Okay.
Right. A lot of people go to Europe, right? And they're saying, oh, I'm going to Europe and I'm 23 or whatever. And I'm going to go to all of fucking Europe. Right. And I'm going to go to like 7 countries and 16 cities. And I'm going to spend like 2.5 months of like going and traveling and da, 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 da. And you're like literally getting it all done. And then you probably won't go back to Europe for the rest of your life.
Right.
Like that's it. You just did it. And that was it.
You just sailed Croatia. Bye-bye.
Like, so your mentality going into it was like, okay, I got to like see everything. I got to go do everything because I'm never going to have this opportunity again. And then you pretty much put it in your mind that you're never going to do that again. And you probably won't do it again.
But that's because we go into life like that, love.
So no, wait. So my point is that instead you can go to like Paris and maybe the south of France.
Or
right?
Just to Italy and have spaghettis.
Just go to Italy and have spaghettis. That's it. And enjoy that time and then go back home. And then, you know, maybe a year or 2 years later, go to Greece. You know, then you get to actually get to have these like rich full experiences and you get to learn more and more about Europe. You're actually dating Europe in a really beautiful way because you're getting to know all of the dynamic, rich elements of what make that region of the world so incredible. So in dating, when you're trying to just like get to know someone, you don't have to run over their entire country and try to figure out who the fuck they are in every single aspect of every single situation, da, 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 because you're never going to really fully understand that person and you're putting way too much pressure. And for someone to get to know you, you don't have to reveal every single country and state and city you have. You can just reveal Paris and the south of France. But go deep and dive into that. And that's that sense of mystery, I think, where you get this really sexy, you know, reveal of more and more information. Like in 14 years later into our marriage, I hope that we're still learning more things about each other.
Oh, you know, love, let me tell you, there's plenty to unfold in this body and brain. Don't you worry about it.
Okay, so there is power in mystery, and that's what I'm trying to say.
There is power in mystery, and you told me that because you are the king of mystery.
Not anymore. You know all the details.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, you never know.
You never know.
Okay, so one of the biggest things that we do throughout our entire life is cheat on ourselves.
We do. And we self-sabotage.
We self-sabotage. We cheat ourselves out of opportunity. We cheat ourselves out of love. We cheat ourselves out of really beautiful things because the risk is too great.
No, it's not even because, sometimes it's not even because the risk is too great. It is because we let fear get the better of us.
Yeah.
Fear is the biggest killer.
But the biggest thing to fear is the loss of something else, which means you are risking it.
Correct.
Your peace is at risk. Your current life and the way it flows is at risk. When you introduce new people to it, when you change jobs, when you move to another country.
But that's when. You need to do that. So if you aren't even doing that,
yeah,
you're cheating yourself.
The risk and you're cheating yourself. Some of the risk isn't worth it. Some of the risk that you are considering and decide against is because you're using your judgment. And
your judgment can be very good sometimes.
And it can help you. And you can trust your gut, right?
Yeah.
So it's not about like saying yes to everything. Like it's not full yes and experience.
But what if you did? Who knows where your life would lead?
Who knows? Yeah, because you would just be constantly in a state of change. I love change. A lot of people don't. But I still wouldn't want to be in a constant state of change.
Not a constant state of change, but I think putting yourself forward for more opportunities or meeting new people.
Like if you wanted to spend a weekend like saying yes and just being like, say yes to everything and everyone. Then yeah, that's a fun experiment to do and who knows what can happen. But like just to like take that on as a mantra for your entire life, I don't know. But with this idea of cheating yourself out of the goodness, like the happiness, the joy, based out of the fear that you may have, I have been a victim of that 100% many times. But at the same time, I've also jumped and I've also risked it all.
But what has happened when you've jumped?
Wonderful, incredible, beautiful things.
Right.
But there was a lot of consideration and judgment to like get to try to figure out what was good and what was bad.
100%.
Looking back to our dating years, which still wasn't that long ago, where, you know, we were cheating ourselves was maybe focusing on the wrong thing. I think.
Or the wrong people.
Right.
I think I was just looking for somebody.
You're looking for somebody.
Yeah. I think I was just always looking for a companionship. And that came from, and I cheated myself because it came from a taught behavior from my family about being gay and like, you know, who knew you could have a long-term marriage or boyfriend or husband?
Right.
Like I never knew that you could have that.
Right.
So I didn't even know what the fuck I was looking for because I wasn't taught that this is what you should be looking for.
Interesting.
I had to teach myself that.
Yes.
And to be honest, I actually felt like I might have cheated myself with love when I was single, but I never cheated myself.
Meaning
opportunities, pushing myself forward, taking new experiences, traveling here and there, moving overseas, moving to new countries. I never cheated myself of that. So I think we can be cheating on ourselves in terms of new opportunities, new experiences, new job ventures, new living in a new country, whatever that might
finding
be. Finding love, dating somebody new, dating somebody that you want to.
It's good for you.
It's good for you.
And bring you that thing that you've been looking for.
Correct. So I think it's a balance of sitting back and letting somebody else lead the way with a bit of mystery, but also not robbing yourself and not cheating yourself of a new experience when being authentic.
Okay. I like that.
I think you have to balance everything.
All right. So you got the flirting, you have setting boundaries, you have to figure out who you are, discover your self-worth, that confidence, and understand that that sense of mystery is actually quite powerful.
Yeah.
And you blend that all together and you figure all that shit out. And you hopefully realize that you're also not cheating yourself out of the full rich experiences that you should be.
You deserve them.
Correct.
Like don't cheat yourself. Don't rob yourself of those experiences.
Yeah. And in relation to dating, finding someone, building new connections, looking for love, looking for the love of yourself. You know,
if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Amen. So in the end, yes, you got to love yourself, but don't cheat on yourself and figure out exactly how you can balance all of these things, whether it's showing someone that you like them,
being flirty,
not showing too much and setting boundaries and getting a really good sense of who the fuck you are.
Amen.
So that you really, truly can bring your full self and drop as much as you can. Not the walls, but the facade. As you're doing that, keep building the vibrant life you want by owning your authentic self.